on November 23rd, 2011. It is the day before U.S. Thanksgiving, before American Thanksgiving. So I want to talk today about a religious guy, because Thanksgiving is kind of a religious festival. Anyway, I watched a lot of movies recently about the Beatles. These movies are all online on YouTube, and they're mainly about John Lennon. I think the most famous one is Backbeat. If you want to listen to them, or watch them rather, go to, you know, put Backbeat in YouTube. Anyway, they're all about John Lennon, because he was seen as the most interesting personality among the Beatles. See, George Harrison is almost invisible in every one of those films. But I just read an article about George Harrison that was pretty darn interesting. He is known as the Quiet Beatle, and everybody knows that he got religion in the late 1960s. He became a devotee of the god Krishna in the Hindu religion, and he had a big hit with the song My Sweet Lord. What I didn't know was that he seems to have been one of those guys whose success allows him to indulge himself to the max in a hedonistic lifestyle, and then he's plagued by guilt and a lack of fulfillment, and that turns him to religion. And according to the article I read, most people didn't know that, but they could have found out if they could have done reference checks. That's right, with the right people. For instance, in a documentary that was just on HBO that I didn't see, Ringo says he had two personalities. He's talking about George. One was this bag of prayer beads, and the other was this big bag of anger. The Quiet Beatle was angry. Yoko Ono said he had two aspects. Sometimes he was very nice, and sometimes he was, long pause, too honest. That's a nice way of putting it, isn't it? Paul McCartney said he was my mate, so I can't say too much, but he was a guy, a red-blooded guy, and he liked what guys like. Those three statements give away the game. Don't they tell you everything as much by what they don't say or hesitate to say is by what they do say? Yes, they do. The article says George's first wife apparently had already written a tell-all book in which she revealed, quote, his heroic capacity for cocaine, brandy, and adultery. I gotta say, that surprised me. I'd heard that Eric Clapton had run away with George's wife, his first wife, and that George was nice enough to forgive him. But apparently, in 1973, at a dinner party at Ringo's house, George stood up and made an announcement. He said, I'm sleeping with Ringo's wife. And he planned to run away with her, and he didn't. But he kept living that wild lifestyle right into his 40s. I'm almost done. Don't worry. Anyway, the author of this article, his name is Andrew Ferguson, and he's a Beatles fan. And he says George's wife was an endlessly forgiving woman. And you might have seen it. I posted this on Twitter yesterday. People used to ask her, how do you make your marriage last with a guy like that? And she said, it's pretty easy. You just don't get divorced. Anyway, you know what? There's one more thing I got to say about him. You couldn't get everything you wanted to know from the references. You had to use your own smarts to put two and two together, no matter what they said. Because when George died, his family said he never feared death. He even welcomed it because he was so sure he's going to live an afterlife with his God. But Ferguson, the reporter, he took a look at Harrison's, so to speak, resume, and he says, quote, his last months were a scramble around Europe and North America in search of experimental cures that might keep him alive a little longer. He would make a good recruiter, and then we could have him as a guest on Jerry! Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem, no problem. Happy holidays, Animal. Happy
Thank
holidays.
You. There's no holiday here. I'm Canadian. I'm a different religion than you guys.
And I don't say happy holidays just because I want to avoid saying Merry Christmas, okay?
Okay, but Merry Christmas, not Christmas yet, Jerry.
Well, but
okay?
It's getting into
why
that time of year, man,
that,
I'm telling you. There's a lot of, you got to put a lot of thought into how you greet people during the holiday season, okay?
Yeah, okay. Okay, now look, Jerry, it's a
special
show.
Maybe you hadn't
today.
Heard. Maybe you Canadians are just kind of
hey,
all
stop,
shut in.
Stop, stop, stop. It's a special show today. I had the great Shally Steckel.
It's a holiday
on.
Show. It's not a holiday show?
Not a holiday show. This is a working show.
I
had Shally on.
I've got a list of material I brought. So I should throw away this holiday material
Don't drink.
List. I got.
Last Thanksgiving, U.S. Thanksgiving, you were drinking through the whole show. Don't do that this time, okay?
Oh, I was hammered, wasn't I?
Hey, stop talking. Woo. I want to talk. I'll have to cut you off, okay? Shally was
off.
Here a few weeks ago. He's the most famous for anyone, any idiot who doesn't know. Shally is the most famous online sorcerer in the world. And I didn't want to ask him those sourcing questions. I wanted to look at another side of Shally. So people like you, Jerry, complained that I turned a steak into a peanut butter sandwich. Those were your words. And
yeah.
Other people complained that I cut Shally off too much.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? I'm going to invite Shally back. Maybe he can fit us into his schedule again. And to my surprise, Shally said, sure, Mike. Sure, Recruiting Animal. I'll come back right away. And so today, we've got, for the second time in a month, the big man of online sourcing, Shally Steckerill himself. Shally, you there?
Yeah, man. Can you hear me?
Yeah, man. I can barely hear you. Are you on a speakerphone?
Can
you hear me
right now?
I sent you landline. What's wrong with you?
Don't have
hey,
one.
I did a cell phone.
So that's all I got.
Okay.
The man's
Shally.
Been through a lot lately, Animal. Can you give
yeah,
the dude
really?
A little bit of slack here?
Okay. Now yeah,
that's
I
all I got,
remember
buddy.
What
I'm
I
sorry.
Okay,
is
Shally.
You sound okay now?
Okay, Shally. You sound okay. Okay.
All right.
Jerry,
cool.
Animal, can you hear me?
Oh, is that Alan Fuhrer?
Hey,
no,
guys.
Fleura.
Fleura.
Hey, Shally.
Okay, Al. Let's go right into it. Shally, what I want to do today, since everybody bugged me that I wasn't asking you enough sourcing questions, I want to work on people's sourcing problems. Is that okay, Shally? Hey, I can't hear you.
Oh, man.
Don't talk through a tin can on this show.
Hey, Animal, how about while Shally gets his phone together, you give your show sponsor a little bit of time here.
Okay,
yeah, Jerry
wants to make an announcement. Go ahead. We're losing all our people. They want to hear Shally, not
okay,
you, but go ahead.
Okay, forget it.
Don't
send me a bill for
ahead.
Sponsoring the show, then.
Can you hear me? Take your ball and go away.
Can you hear me?
Oh,
no.
It's a mess.
Call back. Hey, anyway, Jerry's got an announcement. He's got a special party happening. You want to tell everybody?
Virtual
party, Jerry?
What?
Hey, don't wreck the
Are
show.
Are you
let
splitting
him
this
talk.
Ad with me, Mike?
Just let him talk, please.
50 cents, buddy. Send it over.
Please, just talk.
December.
Do it.
December
just
21st.
Do it.
I'm doing it. December 21st, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Now, for those of you that want to say, is it daylight savings time, blah, 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 whatever time it is in New York, when it's 7 o'clock in New York City, virtual Christmas party, you'll find it on Twitter, hashtag VCP. We're also going to have a conference call-in number as well as on Tiny Chat. Last year was fantastic. I'm not sure if all the guests are going to be back. I'm not sure if everybody's going to be back, but I know a lot of people have been asking me all year to make sure that as soon as I knew when it was that I let them know because it was a blast. December 21st, it's a Wednesday.
Okay,
did
thanks.
You want to make
Shally,
sure that I was top this last
7 p.m.
year, Jerry?
What's
Shally,
that, Mike?
Are you ready? Shally, Shally.
All right.
Are you ready?
I don't know if I got my dollars worth there.
Shally.
No, you didn't.
That was 75.
Not really.
Shally.
68.
Shally there.
Jerry, you forgot
yes?
to mention I was topless last year.
Yeah.
The topless Shally. Mike A-Stringer. We'll be back.
Hey. Shally, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yay.
Yeah, I can
are.
Hear you now. Alan Fleur. There. Alan Fleur. Are you there?
No. Can you hear me?
Yes. Say yes, Alan Fleur is here. I can't see you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Ask Shally about your job. Describe your job to Shally.
Which one?
The one you talked to Maureen about yesterday.
Oh, okay, Shally. Here it is. In the oil and gas business, it's called a cracking furnace. It produces what's called ethylene. It's a tight market space. What we're looking for is somebody who has a chemical degree, understands what's called process, and can design the process for what's called a cracking furnace.
Okay. Are there any cracking furnaces in any industry other than petroleum?
There are some in the chemical industry, say Dow. We found some around there, but it's a fairly unique thing to the oil and gas. Chemicals, it would work, but it would have to be big chemical processing.
Okay. So they're splitting molecules. They're splitting basically.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So
they're putting in
they're
methane and all.
Yeah,
they're putting it in, and then this separates it out like you're separating out cake batter, and you get these various things, the main component being ethylene.
Yep, and they're chem-eng, right? Chemical engineers?
What are you looking
yeah.
for, Alan?
Pardon me, animal?
What title are you looking for?
It's going to be either a senior process design person, it's going to be a chemical engineer title, or it's going to be some have furnace engineer, not many, but the good ones do. Most of these folks are in Texas, Arkansas, some in New York.
Shally.
Yep.
What would you advise? How would you go with that search?
Yep. Well, a couple of things. I think the terminology, the cracking furnace terminology is abstruse enough. That might be a good keyword, but I don't know what you've already done with that. So have you tried searching for just that? Okay, and what kind of – do you get weird results or incorrect results?
No, Shally, everybody listen to me, okay? This show
here you go.
Good.
This is just like the last show. Shally is getting into the meat of something, and you cut him off.
I have a question for him. Shelly, I want you to tell us exactly what you would do step by step. Everybody who sends me the jobs, they say, have Shelly tell us step by step what he would do. Don't ask questions.
Yeah,
say, this is what I would do.
Hey, how's come Alan's job goes right to the top of the pile here? I've been asking for Shelly to show us how to find Java contractors in Pittsburgh
for a month.
Next. I demand
you
to be
shut
first.
Up. You shut up. Let Alan take care of this one.
Just let Shelly answer. Could you just let Shelly answer?
He's telling you how he does it, Anna. Let him finish.
Shelly, tell us step by step what you would do.
Ready when you are.
Titanic number two.
Stop yelling.
So, this is pretty much relegated to almost entirely just petroleum geology, right? So you've found a couple of other people outside of that, but not much. And you already try using cracking as a search string.
We have used cracking, furnace cracking, ethylene cracking. I've talked to senior people at the companies, the competitor companies that do it, and their comments have been, number one, they popped the client name immediately because it's such a tight market space. And two, they said their people are mostly retiring or dying.
Okay, so you have the gray beard syndrome. In other words, you've got an industry where the population that is expert in this particular field is, towards the end of their career, and there's not a lot of people coming into this industry at the beginning of their career, correct?
That's correct, and it's a tight and it's a huge growing market.
Yep, okay. So the first thing that I would do after just understanding a little bit more about the requirements is try to find some other word besides cracking that would appear on somebody's profile. So what's going on is you're not going to find a lot of resumes. You're not going to go to Google and put in petroleum cracking and petroleum geology and get a bunch of resumes. What you're going to need to do is identify natural language patterns that people use when they talk about what they're doing. So, for example, catalytic or fluid catalytic, those kinds of things. So you want to find the language that they use, and then what you're going to do is you're going to look for evidence of people having conversations around that language, whether it's, you know, hydrocracking or steam cracking or fractionator.
Steam cracking, and we've done that.
Or NAFTA. Right. Okay. So that's the first. That's the first step that I would use.
Yes.
And so, I'm sorry, go ahead.
We've done that. We have found some additional people. We've also set up, I've also set up Google alerts just on the cracking in the furnace. I've gotten maybe 3 hits in 2.5 months, and they've all been kind of white papers overseas.
Yep. Okay. So understanding that cracking is probably not going to be a good word, I'm going to test it to make sure. That's the first thing I'll do, and then if I can definitely eliminate it as a word, then I'll have to find a different word to search on. So when you're searching on the internet, you've got to remember that the only thing you have to match against are words, because that's what's online. You can't match against thoughts or ideas. So you've got to come up with a word that describes the thoughts or ideas that people are using when they're discussing professionally what they do. And that's the first step. In other words, defining what you're looking for. What is it that's really out there? Not what you think should be out there, but what's really out there. So one of the things I'll try is just looking for pages that have in the title, and you can use the in title command, words like staff or people or bio, things like that. And so, you know, you can try a variation of them. I typically will just start with something like staff or people. And then if in the page the word cracking appears along with words he or she, in other words, basically pronouns, then you probably have a bio of some sort. So we'll look for, you know, basically in title staff, and then you'll use plus, as in the number sign, the mathematical symbol plus cracking. The reason for that is if you use cracking as a word, Google is going to think that you are referring to hacking, as in cracking software, or possibly crack, as in, well, there's a whole bunch of interpretations for crack, some fairly innocent. So you want to actually use plus cracking because you want exactly the word cracking. You don't want Google to think that you misspelled it and use hacking or something else. And then you use he or she in a parenthesis inside of a logical disjunction. So open parenthesis.
Hey, Sally, can you type this into Twitter? Put animal at the end?
My tweets are protected, okay. So nobody can see them unless they're following me. So in title colon staff plus cracking, and then he or she. All right. So if you try that, what you might end up finding are bios of people that are in that business, and you might need to add to that keywords around basically petroleum, geology, et cetera, right? So that might be the next one. In title colon staff plus cracking, and then either geology or petroleum.
Chemical.
Or chemical. There you go. That's it.
Yeah. Hey,
how
likely is it that he's going to – it doesn't look like this is going to work. I mean, this looks like a real long shot.
Okay.
No, I'm asking what would you expect for your results after he's done all this work? How likely are you to find a person just with online sourcing of this type?
And while you think of that answer, we've got a Twitter update. Daniel Heath, an Englishman in New York selling recruitment solutions for ClickZ, says the content is good, but the pointless arguing and yelling completely takes the interest out of it for me.
Hey, Danny, tell Jerry to shut up so I can talk and lead the show, and then I won't have to yell over him, okay?
I'm not going to tell him that.
So I've got a question. Is somebody with an academic background going to work? In other words, if somebody has industry experience and now is at a university, would you consider them? They did do petroleum, but they're at Texas Tech in the College of Engineering. And they are teaching, but they have 15 years in micro-cracking experience. So whoever was asking the question, am I going to find something? Yeah, I found a lot. The problem isn't whether or not I'm going to find them. The problem is, are they the right kind of people? And that's the question I'm asking. Is Dr. Shaheen Siddiqui, adjunct professor at Texas Tech University in the Petroleum Engineering Organization with 15 years of experience, is that not a good candidate because he's now an academic?
I have a call out to him, and we're blinding that we're blinding that information. We're going to talk to the client about that information because that's a good point. We also have spoken with a couple of senior people at some of the competitors, and actually it may actually lead to some more business because they're in need too. But we've spoken with them. They've given us the whole rundown on how it works, some of the alternative terms. I did find a group on LinkedIn that is somewhat close, so now X-raying that one is we're reaching out to them. Other suggestions would be appreciated.
Yeah, materials science. There are PhD programs in that as well, and there are a lot of joint programs between industry and academics where engineers are lent from the organization. In other words, from, let's say, Tosco or BP or Shell, they're lent to the university for some sort of Center for Integrated Manufacturing Studies or that kind of thing. So usually you'll see like Center for Integrated Electronics, Center for Integrated Manufacturing, et cetera. So you'll find people with material science.
We're not going to spend the whole hour on this show. I thought you could tell a little more in a shorter time.
Hey, Animal, I have a quick question. Is there anywhere online where we can find
the
job description?
I'm going to email it to you. What's your email address? Don't tell me that on the radio show.
Why not? He's a recruiter.
Shelly, go into your email. You and I have traded enough where if you go – Shelly, you and I have traded enough where if you just type in AFL, you'll find it.
Hey, Animal.
Yeah?
Is there any way online where we can find this job description of the person he's looking for?
Alan Fleury, is the job description online?
It's at the clients right now, but
okay,
I've got it. I can send it to wherever.
It's not on their website? They don't have a thorough posting?
No, it is, but it's not a good
idea. Yeah,
he doesn't
want to give you a client, okay?
Hey,
just send it to me. Send me whoever's asking me for it. Put it at Animal. I want that job description, and I'll send it on to Alan after the show, okay?
Thank you. That's Animal. That's Jeremy.
Animal.
Okay, I'll send it to you.
Oh, Jeremy,
Animal.
Okay. Yes?
Animal.
I'll send it to you.
Yes?
Animal. It's Kathy.
Yes, Kathy.
I've been tweeting Shelly's suggestions, so just follow them. So it's Dave Mendoza.
Thank you very much. Okay, Jerry has to talk. But Jerry,
however, Kathy, none of your stuff is showing up. Are you using the official hashtag RA show or at Animal? Because I'm not seeing any of it anywhere.
At Animal.
He's not.
That is so yesterday. Can't even tell. It's hashtag RA show.
Okay.
The RA show.
Hey, you might want to eliminate the term fatigue. I'm getting a lot of false positives with the word fatigue, which has to do with a different part of the manufacturing process that is not for gas and vapors. So you might want to do with the one I just sent you, minus fatigue, to try it out.
Shally, half the show's gone, okay? I got to move on. Jerry.
Animal, you've got the job spec in your inbox.
Thank you very much.
Okey-dokey.
Jerry, it's your turn.
My search isn't quite as glamorous here, Shally. Need some Java contractors in Pittsburgh. I'm looking for your general approach to identifying contractors with specific skill sets.
Yeah,
do you do that much? And then I have a second part of my question is, do you only use internet search? I mean, is that your 100% thing? Do you do any, phone sourcing? I mean, what other sourcing approaches do you have than just Boolean search? I mean, are you...
Well, let me answer the bigger, more strategic question first because it's got a quick answer. And basically the answer is yes, I do whatever it takes. I'm agnostic when it comes to the technology solution or the particular solution stack for a problem. In other words, if you say I'm trying to find, chemical engineers with cracking, I'm not going to say, oh, you have to go to the internet. The first thing I do is try to identify what I'm looking for, and that's defining my search. And I do use the internet to understand what it is I'm looking for, but I don't always just use the internet. I'll use whatever means necessary. I'll go into public records, I'll direct dial, I'll do phone sourcing. So it doesn't really matter. My objective is to identify talent, not to use the internet. In other words, my job isn't searching internet. My job is finding candidates, right? So when it comes to contractor, if you want to use the internet, you want to find people's resumes, then what you're probably going to look for are phrases, natural language phrases, again, that reveal the fact that the person does contract work. So you can use search terms such as contract to hire. Oftentimes you'll find, you know, that's in a job description. In other words, you know, Bob the Java architect worked at blah, blah, blah company in Salt Lake City from, you know, December to whatever. And then, under job title, it'll say software engineer contract to hire. So that's one term. There's a lot of other variations. There's contract role. There's, so that's the kind of language pattern that you want to use. Now, here's an interesting tool that you might want to do. If you grab a dozen or so of your ideal candidate's resumes and take out the, biographical information, in other words, name, email, and stuff like that, just use the experience section, you know, the job section, the bullet points. Grab all of that into, like, you know, let's say grab 10 of those and make one big document, like a Word document.
Yeah.
Copy and paste that into a Wordle, and you'll see a word pattern emerge.
Love
it. Look through the words to look for words that are related to temporary or contract employment. In other words, you already know what Java people do, so you don't need the Java, J2ME, Java Beans, you know, .NET, but you know, Eclipse, bada bum, whatever. What you want to do is find out what do these 10 contractors have in common with regard to the language they utilize to express that they're not a full-time employee.
Hmm.
So,
six-month contract.
Just the phrase month contract, as in 4-month contract, 6-month contract, that alone is probably going to give you a good set of results. So I would search for Java and then open quotes, month contract, and you'll find a lot of contractors that way.
I like that a lot.
You might
want
to eliminate job postings, okay? You're going to get – because you also get looking for a 6- to 12-month contractor – but that's easy to do. You eliminate job postings by getting rid of all the words that appear on a job.
Gotcha.
That don't appear on a resume. So,
yeah.
Are there also Java groups in Pittsburgh, Jerry? Associations?
Oh, I'm sure there are. Yeah, I've seen a couple of them.
Let's let Shally take care of this. We know everybody has tips. We just want to hear what Shally says about searching online. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good start. And now there's other words like that, but you'll identify those when you do that word.
Yeah, I think that's great. I like it. I mean, that helps me out a lot, frankly.
Excellent.
Are you done, Jerry?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, our friend Lee Shamuel, who one day is going to be a guest on this show, he wants to know if Shally has any quick recommendations on how to search for corporate org charts online. That's an easy one for you, isn't it, Shally?
Yeah, that is, you're just not guaranteed to find the corporate org chart for the corporation that you intend to find. So you can find org charts, but you won't find every company's org chart. A couple of really quick ways to test this out is to use the file type command inside of a Google search. If you use file type, F-I-L-E-T-Y-P-E colon, and then a format like, say, PowerPoint, PPT, sometimes you'll find PowerPoint presentations which will have org charts in them for the company name. So you would do file type colon PPT and then the name of the company. Let's just say Motorola Inc. Don't put Motorola by itself because you'll get Motorola cell phones, you'll get Motorola products, and you'll get a lot of marketing stuff. Do the Motorola Inc. And you might want to also add the job title adjacent to the organization that you want. So if this is in accounting, you know, put in CFO or something like that. So think of what would appear in an org chart. It would be somebody's name, their job title, and the company. So, you know, John Smith, CFO of Motorola, right, or Motorola Inc. So that's what I would start out with. Now, they're not always going to be in PPT or PowerPoint. Sometimes these appear in PDF, so you'd also want to search for PDF for Adobe. And the third thing I would try is not limit yourself to documents that are formatted in Microsoft Office, but also go to the resume/document hosting websites. Don't even have to be resume. A DocStock, for example, Scribd. These are all places where people store documents, and then they get converted into a format that's resonant on the server, typically Flash or something like that. You can actually search all of these by doing a, you know, site colon DocStock, site colon Scribd, site colon.
You know
whatever.
What? I don't think people are understanding what you're saying with that DocStock. I mean, .docx. Is that what
you're
saying?
So there are places where you can upload documents. They're called online document storage.
Like
and you
Scribd,
can just Google
Scribd, right? Scribd. Is
yeah,
that
if you
what
Google
you think?
Online document storage, you'll get a whole, you know, there's a whole bunch of them. But yeah, DocStock is a website, and that is basically doctoc.com. But there's also Scribd, that's Scribd.com. There's, you can get files anywhere, HyperOffice, there's, you name it. I mean, there's hundreds of these. The point is you don't want to limit yourself to just PDF and PowerPoints because sometimes these things get uploaded into a website. Like on LinkedIn, if you see somebody on LinkedIn, sometimes they'll have like a little box underneath their profile that says, here's my online presentation with SlideShare. That's SlideShare. That's one of those kinds of online hosting. You can search SlideShare just through site : SlideShare dot, I believe it's net. And then, again, do something. And so as far as the keywords you would use there, you could use a combination of, quote, org chart. That's pretty simple, almost a little too obvious, right? But you also have other things such as organizational chart, reports to, you know, things like that. So think of, again, the words that would appear on an org chart. It's not always going to say actual org chart.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now,
and
Chris,
then there's a
Cox.
Lot of websites that actually have, like, you know, basically org charts in them. One of them that comes to mind is one called Cogmap. Now, I don't know which companies, but it's probably a lot of the Fortune, you know, 1000. So go to cogmap.com, and then they have a search box, so type in the name of the company. There may not, I mean, your company might be small enough that Cogmap doesn't see a need to, you know, publish an org chart for them. But you will get, you know, with larger companies, you will get org charts that are already there.
There's another one that I just saw on LinkedIn just last week, and I can't remember the name of it. But LinkedIn took me to another thing that's like a corporate Wikipedia.
Yep.
Where they show the pictures of all the different people and dotted line the org chart, but as a visual. Does anybody recall what that is? I'll look it up.
Yeah, I mean, there was one I remember some time ago called dayrule.net, but that's more to directors members. I don't know if that's you know, manager level or charting.
Okay, I'll find it here.
Okay, I got to do an ad. Listen, everybody, according to Chris Russell, at Chris Russell, statistics show that 80% of job openings are never advertised.
That wasn't me, was it?
Mm-hmm. Jerry, you're going to get cut off. I'm not kidding. I'm getting complaints because of you, okay? Now I'm doing an ad. According to Chris Russell, statistics show that 80% of job openings are never advertised. Now, I don't know if that number is fully correct.
No
80%
way.
Is a lot. But if you go to his site, hiddenjobsapp.com, you will find an incredible list of unadvertised jobs. And with the Hidden Jobs app, I find that hard to say, you can discover these jobs. Hidden Jobs app is available for iPhone and Android, and the database is updated daily with new content. It's ideal for job hunters and recruiters. Hidden Jobs app. Say it with me. Hidden Jobs app. Anybody?
Hiddenjobsapp.com.
Thank you very much.
I'm not
okay, Shally. Shally, hold on 1 second. Now, is Don Kahn here?
She's listening. She's tweeting out something. So.
Okay, well, no, if she would have called in, I would have let her talk about her job. Is Lil Brenda here on the line? No? Okay. What about Regina Farr? Are you here?
No.
Okay, well, these are people who told me they wanted to talk about their jobs, and I said, if they're here, fine, they can present those jobs. Okay, is there anybody on the line who wants to talk about a job? Otherwise, I'll have to read some to Shally, and you can tell it's much better if he can interact with you. Anybody here has a job they want to know how to fill? No? Okay.
I'll speak up again.
No. Chris Cox, you had your chance, okay? Chris Cox, he says, tell Shally, as if Shally doesn't know, that you have to use quotes in Google to get results.
Yeah.
Not the plus symbol, but before a word. Google changed that. Do you want to talk about that a bit? Thank you, Chris Cox.
That's good to know.
Sally?
Wait a minute. Say that again?
Yeah, what was that?
Google switched their syntax. Because of Google Plus, you can't use the plus anymore. You have to use quotes instead. Can Shelly talk?
Right, so you're referring back to the question that I had earlier. I mean, the answer that I had regarding cracking. So you're right. You probably would have to adapt that to quote cracking, end quote, or just go to another search engine, because the idea is that the search string would work on any search engine, even on a resume board and LinkedIn. But yeah, that's right. So there is there is evidence that the plus sign has been dropped because of Google Plus, and it created confusion. So some rumor has it that Google Plus, in other words, when you put plus into Google, it'll actually do something related to the Google Plus accounts. I don't know whether that's true or not. I read that on Search Engine Watch. But you can use quotations. And when you have the answer that I gave earlier about Java and then quote, month, contract, end quote, that should still pretty much work. You don't need a plus sign on that, because you're using open quotations, month, space, contract, close quotations. And that kind of natural phrase of two words, three words, four words works really well.
Okay. Greg Durgarian. Do you know him? TempWorks? Shally, I'm talking to you.
I know him, but you weren't asking me, were you?
I wasn't asking Jerry. Sorry, I'm asking Shally. Okay. Do you know him?
Yeah. That was an easy question to answer.
Yeah, it is. It's just a prelude to the real question. Greg Durgarian says, I want to hire one of my competitors' salespeople in the U.K. He says the field is enterprise software and funding. What he does, he sells software to recruiters and then backs them. He's a factor. He gives them money to operate and pay their contractors, right? You understand that, Charlie? You know that business?
So he wants to hire a salesperson from a competitor, right?
In the U.K.
I'm assuming the competitor has operations in the U.K., correct?
Okay, I don't know where they're based, but
you couldn't hire a competitor salesperson in a country where they don't operate. So let's base the assumption that
company
doesn't have salespeople in the UK.
Yeah,
probably easiest thing to do is to pick up the phone, call a 1-800 number, and say I want to talk to
No. Charlie, we always know that you can pick up the phone. What we want to know is what you can do online. You're the most famous online sourcer in the world. Let me remind you about that. Okay.
All right.
Why do you say online sorcerer? Why that note?
Animal, that's so silly. The guy's saying that you have an easy way to get these people. Yeah. Why do you have to jump through hoops to get the same results?
Fantastic.
So you're saying don't look online for those people. Is that what you're saying, Shally? And Dave, thank you, Mr.
Sorcerer.
You can
look online all you want, but if it's a salesperson you're looking for, they're not hiding.
And if you're looking to do it fast.
Quickly.
Okay, Shally, thank you, Jerry.
Okay, he also wants to know about sourcing on freelance boards like Elance. I don't even know what that means, but I pass it on. What does that mean?
Yeah, there's what are freelance boards are basically like, there's guru.com. There's actually quite a few of these, and it's a place where you can put your bio and expertise up and your hourly rate, and a lot of them actually even have like ratings. So you can get tested. If you're a Java engineer, you can get tested as to what proficiency of Java you have. So it's pretty easy to go on those, because they're designed to basically advertise their members. And if you want to go to Freelance or Guru or any of those, you can just go right there and put in something into the search box. However, if you want to capture all of them, I'll give you two really quick ways to do it. One of them is you can create a custom search engine. Or the other thing that I've been playing a lot with lately is you actually can create a custom search engine with Blecko. So Blecko is BLEKKO.com. What's nice about that is the simplicity with which you can create a custom search. So let's say that you have let's say you have freelance.com is one of them, and then there's a dozen others, right? So we can actually search Blecko for other types of websites, and we can grab a bunch of those and put it into a custom search engine so that you'll have a slash tag
you can
on
search
Blecko
what?
Hold on that is Yeah. So for example,
Blecko?
Yeah, Blecko.
What are you talking about?
It's a search engine called Blecko. Blekko.
Yes.
Right.
I'm telling you, you can do this with Google Custom Search, but the easier, faster way. It's not as robust and doesn't have all the levels of control, but it's still pretty darn good. Is to go to blekko.com and create a slash tag free of all of the websites like ifreelance.com, freelancer.com, guru.com, projectforhire.com. There's easily 100 of these websites. And you create a slash tag so that when you go on Blecko, you can just simply do /, whatever you call it. It could be called freelance workers or something. And then it'll search only those websites. In other words, through Blecko, you can create a custom search that allows you to search only the websites that are freelance websites. That way you can search across all of them without having to go into each individual one. So it's like your own meta search engine, right? It's your own little search engine that searches only the places that you want to go to.
Okay. Shally, how would you compare that to, say, Yahoo Pipes?
A lot easier to use. Easier to use. Yeah.
Okay.
If you even know how to use Yahoo Pipes, I mean, it's. I can tell you, I have never met, a group of people that collectively could say, "Oh yeah, we know Yahoo Pipes." Usually, it's one person who's like, "Yeah, I played around with it." So, if you know it, great, knock yourself out. But for the average person that doesn't want to have to get an engineering degree to use something, Blecko was just a lot easier. Literally, you put in a website like freelance.org. And then it tells, there's a whole bunch of other websites that are like this, and you click on those, and then it creates a custom search for you. So it's really simple. And you can share it. As in, like, I can create a slash tag for freelancers or freelance websites, and then I can publish it publicly to everybody, or I can share it with you so you and I can contribute on it together or your team or whatever. So there's a level of simplicity and intuitiveness that comes with it.
And Blecko, it's you use your one keyword, then you put a slash, and that makes the search even more specialized, right? You add another keyword. That's
correct.
The way it works.
Yep. So right now, today, you can go on Blecko and put in, let's say, Java and month contract in quotes, and then use slash people, /, and the /people will actually look through just bios, and you'll see a ton. I'm getting 36,000 bios of Java contractors, and I think you said Philadelphia. So then
Pittsburgh.
I'm sorry. I'm probably going to get a lot of angry calls now because I confused Pittsburgh with Philadelphia. But of course, you would add Pittsburgh and or
just
area
after
code.
The slash. Then
the only slash is slash people. So what I have on my screen right now is Java open quote month contract close quote Pittsburgh.
There's no slash. Wait a minute. Java no slash. Just Java.
Java.
Space.
Open quote, month contract, end quote, Pittsburgh, /people/no space/people.
Mm-hmm.
You could try that, or you could just, I'm getting a lot of really cool profiles here. John Fisher, George Clay, Matt Sukanik.
What's the
Andrew
slash
James.
Do there?
The slash people is actually telling Blecko to use one of their custom scripts to find only profiles of individuals. So it's looking through, like, your LinkedIn, Twitter bios. It's looking through a bunch of, profile-related. It's not just – I don't want you to think it's just LinkedIn. It's also Blogspot. It's also – what it does is it identifies patterns of language that reveal that a page is actually a bio page, similar to the he or she thing that we did earlier.
Yeah. Can you tweet that? Because when I put it in, and I just did –
He can't tweet, okay?
I
can tweet all I want.
Yeah, I don't understand
that, my tweet.
Yeah, you can tweet all you want, Shally.
Kathy, will
you
lay that on me there?
Kathy will tweet it out for me. I'm protecting my tweets for special reasons, special circumstances.
For obvious reasons.
But Kathy will send it out.
For obvious reasons, yeah.
We all know it's
coming. Okay, so just so everybody knows, that's Blekko. And I have to say the only reason I know about it is because Dave, the Kingfish Manister, who is here commenting in the background.
Sniping from the background.
He broadcasted, that guy who started Blecko, he broadcasted his speech on SourceCon right after Shally and then Jill Stavely and then that Blecko guy. And so I learned a lot that day. Thank you, Dave. I'm just thanking you, Dave, okay? went
on. Thank Amy Beth. She found him. I had no idea that he existed until
Okay, thank you, Amy Beth. Okay,
yeah.
Now I want to say something. I'm going to do another ad, but first I want to say there's a listener that I've never seen before. His name is Scavato, and he says, I'm listening to Jerry Albright and Shally on Animal's show. He said, and the show is a disaster, and don't anybody interrupt me. And the expert resume man says, listening to the Recruiting Animal show with a VIP guest, he lost control in a shorter time than ever before. And I just want to tell everybody, I have to talk over the people on the show. If I don't have to do it all the time, we can just proceed. There's a lesson there for the coming year.
Oh, there's a lesson there. There's a lesson.
Okay. Now, anyway, Mike Astringer is
I believe
a regular
Scavato is
on
actually AutoSearch, the company that used to be called AutoSearch.
Yeah, Scavato is some kind of a software deal, and he's kind of plugging himself, which is cool.
Anyway, Mike Astringer is a regular on this show. I think he's here today, and he owns a company called Human Capital Consultants. This is an ad for a kind of paying customer. Anyway, humancapitalconsultants.com is looking for a sales representative in the Boston area. The ideal candidate will have 3 to 5 years of experience selling recruiting, staffing services, HR services, or HR systems. If you're interested or just want to find out a little more, call Mike Astringer at 800-378-0847, extension 701, or Mike at humancapitalconsultants.net. Mike, are you there? Is there anything I should add to that?
You do it great every week, Animal. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Now,
okay.
Mike, have you actually paid for that ad?
Can we leave that, Jerry, please?
I'm just wondering. I mean, how is it that you
I'm such a
promote my nemesis on
Animal.
Your show?
Hey,
yeah.
Boys, bring it down.
All right.
Mike, is this in Boston?
Correct, yes.
Yes, it's in Boston. I just said Boston. Okay? Now, look,
can I verify
a word, everybody? That's why the show's getting bogged down, because I don't get to lead it. All these smart guys think that they have to lead it, okay?
Why don't we have Scavato lead it if he's such a tough guy?
Yeah, okay. Now, that other guy that you read me, he wanted you to shut up as well, Jerry, okay? So, anyway.
Who told me to shut up?
Daniel Heath.
Bring it on, Danny.
Okay. Now, listen, Cora May Langham, Shally, I'm talking to you now. Are you listening to me? Say yes or no.
Yes or no.
Okay. Now, Cora May Langham, she wrote a little story, and I'm going to read you a bit of it, and you tell me what you would have done. She says, one day, this is one of her best clients, the controller asked me to work with their audit department and find someone.
God. This is a horror story, isn't it? This is one of the horror stories.
Thank you. Thank you, Rianne. Find someone to implement the GE type audit function. That's they knew what they wanted the person to do. They wanted someone with 10 years experience, a CPA from a top firm who spoke Mandarin Chinese plus two other Chinese dialects, and who this is a quote was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed American boy. No Asian candidates because they will be more submissive and subservient, and this candidate would be moving to China in 2 years to take over the head finance role over there in China. How would you find somebody like that online?
Next.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
really?
No. Hold on. So Mandarin and what, Cantonese?
Two other Chinese dialects. I don't know.
And they're finance audit?
Here's what I can tell you.
You know what? I got to tell you.
The natural phrase that you would use for something like this would be combinations and versions of fluent in Chinese, native Chinese, Chinese speaker, and these are all in quotes. That's going to give you profiles of people that are indeed fluent in Chinese. But I'm sorry, I can't help you source for somebody who's subservient or whatever.
No, they don't want someone who's subservient. They want someone who's not Chinese.
I can't teach you to source for a subservient, not subservient, Chinese, not Chinese, yellow skin, white skin. Not going to do that, but fluent in Chinese in quotes and things like that would work. One thing to keep in mind with Chinese is that when they are Chinese, they don't usually say Mandarin. They usually just say Chinese. There are a lot of different languages that are defined under Chinese. So you mentioned dialects. In fact, people in China, when I was in Singapore, I was asking – individuals if they spoke Mandarin or Cantonese, and they looked at me with a puzzled face. And the reason for that is they don't call it either. For them, it's Han Chinese, which is what we would – anyway, long story short, be careful with using words like Mandarin, because you'll only find Americans referring to Mandarin. You won't usually find Chinese. I'm saying you never will. Sometimes you will, because they put it on their resume because we expect it. But you got to be careful with words like that, because it's going to take you down the wrong, you know, road. The phrase that you want to use is fluent in Chinese, natural or native speaker, native Chinese speaker, et cetera.
Okay.
There's
now,
two other things
what they were asking for here was illegal, right?
No.
Shally?
I can't answer that. I'm not an attorney. I don't know whether it's
okay,
legal.
Okay, well, it
or
sounds
not.
Like it's illegal to me, but they wanted an American specifically. Anyway, so, but if you're looking for someone with 10 years experience and Mandarin Chinese, how do you put in the 10 years experience?
Well, you can definitely do that with just a phrase, 10 years, but then you're only going to find people with 10 years, not 11 or 12. Another thing you can do is a range of years. So you could do a num range command inside of Google, which is very simply just two numbers separated by two dots. So, for example, 2001.2011 would give you a range of years. There's also some other natural phrases, but I don't really know. You know, so the question about the 10 years is, if they have 12 and you search for 10 and you only find people with 10, you're eliminating everybody with 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
Yeah, Shelley, do you do a lot of number of years type experience searches, or would you just skip that and then use that as kind of your own at the end of your search, make your own decision
yeah.
about those people?
The second thing you said, primarily because people's job titles usually,
right.
not always, usually indicate level of experience. You don't get to be CEO if it's your first year of experience, you know. So, you know, senior, whatever, you know, principal, whatever. So these are job titles that often reveal how long somebody's been in a particular field. And so
shouldn't most recruiters really ignore that stuff anyway? I mean,
I'm not saying
10 years experience required. I hate that. That's junior recruiter stuff right there.
I'm not going to necessarily argue that.
Don, I saw that Don said she couldn't be heard. Can I hear you now? Say hello if you're there, please. Don Kahn. Oh, hold on a second. See, they changed the dashboard here. It's about 10 people who aren't open. Okay, Don Kahn, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, talk to Shally.
Go. Thank goodness. Oh, Maureen's off too, by the way.
Hi, Maureen. Go ahead.
Shally, what I'm trying to do is similar to what Jerry's looking for. I'm looking for mail and messaging engineers for a contract, like right now. So I'm looking for
just
people.
Just mail engineers?
Not
mail.
M-A-I-L.
Not
M-A-L-E.
Oh, okay.
M-A-I-L.
That's
my
gender.
I'm a dummy.
Where are you looking?
The position is in Washington, but I want to look across the U.S. for people that are willing to work a contract now.
You look for
exchange
administrators.
Well, the same answer I gave about the contract, it would apply here, but on the mail and engineering, my recommendation would be that you find specific types of admin, keywords. So mail administration, MX for the DNS registration for the MX record is a good keyword. But you can probably find clusters of these kinds of keywords, and then you would search like you would with anything else, but adding the names of the applications that these administrators typically use. So there's a lot of, Spam Arrest, Barracuda, Postini, these are related to,
right.
So higher risk and things like that. Oops.
Are you
what
looking
are you
also
using?
For email administrators on Exchange? Are you looking for people that do email program,
email
send
support?
Out?
It's tier 2 support on Exchange.
Yeah,
then
so Exchange
would
be
the. Yeah.
Yeah. And other words too. Within Exchange, there's that, you know, domain controller. There's, you know, so you can probably get a discussion group about Exchange and go in there, and there'll be a, you know, how to handle the mail server type stuff. Grab as many of those technical words from there, and then you want to look for conversations. A really good place for what you're looking for are the online groups, Yahoo groups and Google groups, because a lot of these mail administrators will go on there and answer questions from neophytes coming in that are, you know, asking about how do I deal with this particular error.
Right.
So you'll get a lot of that in
That's
discussion
what I was
kind
of looking for. What are you using for? I heard you talking about the natural language pattern analysis. You said something about Wordle or something. Is that a tool, or is that
Wordle.net is a free website,
okay,
and you can create a Wordle, which is basically a visual representation of a bunch of words, which you can also do in Word document in Excel, but it's a little bit harder.
Yeah.
I like Wordle because it's pretty and easy to read. So it's like copy, paste, hit enter, and then you get a picture, and then you can actually manipulate the picture. But
you could,
in Word, go in and analyze the document and say how many, you know, show me the statistical rankings of how many times each word appears on the paper.
Yeah.
And Word will tell you this word appears 27 times, this one appears 26 times. That's exactly the same thing Wordle is doing. But Word just gives it to you as a, you know, spreadsheet format with numbers, and that's kind of hard to interpret. At least for me, and, you know, anybody who knows me knows I'm extremely lazy. So Wordle is just kind of the, you know, the free and easy way to do it.
Okay, good. All right. Thank you.
I'd also pay attention to resumes of people at banks and financial institutions right now because of the rumors of layoffs. They have a lot of contractors, and a lot of them are probably, you can probably get a better hit rate off of those areas too.
Oh, good suggestion. Thank you.
Got an important message.
There's a Microsoft certification for mail administrators, by the way. Look that up.
Yeah, the ICTP.
Okay.
That's great. Thank you.
You have anything else to tell her, Shelly?
I'm good.
Anything else for Don Con? Shelly?
Hi, Don.
Shelly, thank you.
Oh,
awesome.
I do. I have something.
Wait a second. Is this Rayanne?
No, it's Cora.
Cora, one second. One second, Cora. Thank you, but
not
Greg Durgarian.
I don't mind waiting.
Thank you very much, Cora. Greg Durgarian says, whoever that female voice is saying, hey, guys, settle down, she's got a sweet voice, and that is Rayanne, okay? Rayanne, you got a compliment. Okay, Cora, go ahead. Shoot.
Thanks. I don't have a clue what online sourcing is, and so when you talk about Boolean strings, I can't even spell the word. Just exactly what it is. What is it?
You know, Shelly, before you answer her, she makes a lot of money. I just got to tell you that, okay?
I do.
Oh, and this Scavato guy,
fantastic.
I was
maybe
trying to argue your case. Just one second, Scavato. I was arguing on your behalf. You said the show's a disaster. I thought that's what you meant, okay? I'm sorry. You better be more clear when you complain next time, okay?
Yeah.
Anyway,
so,
go ahead.
I'd like to know how you make so much money, but I'm going to ask you a question.
I phone source,
so
and then
I don't
recruit.
Talk about Boolean strings. I actually don't think I've actually even mentioned that on the show today.
Well, are the things that you're doing, is that Boolean strings when you say put in and search by?
Aren't you the Boolean black belt guy?
I mean, I don't understand
any of
that.
No, I'm not. Sorry, guys. You got me confused with somebody else. So, you know, when you go to Google, all you're doing is typing in google.com, and then you're putting in what I said earlier was, you know, quote, month's contract, and then Javas is exactly as I said. If the question is, what are Boolean, there's three Booleans, and, or, and not. And on Google, you don't really need to use and. When you put in a word like Java and a word like month.
Whose kid is there? Whose kid is there? Maureen?
I don't know. So when you enter into Blecko or Google or Bing or any other search engine, the word Java and then the word month, it automatically inserts the and for you. So you can pretty much ignore the and. The not is like a, you know, it's like the minus sign. Think of it as removing results. So if you do Java, month, and then minus coffee, it'll eliminate any page that has coffee in it. That's the not Boolean. And then the OR Boolean is what's called a logical disjunction, and that's a mathematical equation, and usually it's surrounded by a parenthesis. So, for example, an easy one would be Java or C++. In parentheses, the OR is capitalized, capital O, capital R. So the Booleans are AND, which you can ignore, or, which I'm about to explain, and not, which is a minus sign.
You know what?
Sorry,
we don't want a full lesson here in Boolean search. I want you just to tell people how to proceed. Cora, you're starting too far back in the line. This is easy to figure out.
Sorry,
just go to
Cora.
Google.
Sorry,
I'll send you there
Sally,
after the
show.
Sally,
can I hire you to teach me how to do it?
Absolutely.
Hold on a sec. I got Lou Brenda.
SCT.com, and to answer your question, no, this is not what I'm talking about. It's just intuitive search techniques. It doesn't have anything
thanks.
To do necessarily with Boolean.
Mm-hmm. Cora,
okay.
I'll get back
that's
to you after
thanks.
And point you in the right direction, okay? Now,
mm-hmm.
Lou Brenda is waiting. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, but one thing. MN Headhunter.
Hey, Brenda.
Hi. How's everybody?
Wait, one second. One second, okay? I'm in
hi,
charge.
Hi, Brenda. Can I say hi, or is that part of the wait one second deal?
Yeah, don't talk while I'm talking so I can finish and we can move on, okay? MN Headhunter, I have to check Twitter myself now. He says, or Greg Dergarian says, create a custom search engine with Bleco. That's not what Shally said, right? And some jerk is running her water while she's on
is
the show.
Penelope,
don't do that.
Is Penelope here? Is she doing dishes again?
Penelope's
yeah.
Trunk.
Okay, Shally, say yes or no.
Yes or no.
Okay. You were talking about making a custom search engine with Google custom search engine, and Bleco was the alternative to that. Am I right? Yes or no?
Bleco is an alternative to Google custom search, correct?
Yeah. So with Bleco, Bleco is a specialized search engine that allows you to specialize the search or narrow it down by using these forward slashes, and then you put a new keyword in that narrows the search. Creating a custom search engine with Google is something different, just so everybody knows. Lou Brenda, you've got the floor. Go ahead.
Hi, Sally.
Hello.
Hi. Do you have any special advice or special services or places for pharmaceutical scientists?
I heard special places, and then I think I might have heard pharmaceutical. Is that correct?
Yes, for pharmaceutical scientists.
Scientists, as mm-hmm. in chemists?
Right.
At drug companies, biopharmaceuticals, or
yes.
traditional medicals?
All of the above.
All of the above. Well, you know, that's a pretty interesting field. I think you'll find that a lot of documentation is filed, especially for FDA. So one of the places I would go is the FDA database. I would also go to patent and trademark searches, and you'll be able to identify the names of people that are filing for patents for different you know, components of, you know, ingredients and chemical processes and things like that. I don't know if you're looking for the chemical engineering side of bonding things together, like bonding, you know, pills together with chemicals or whatever. But you can find a lot of that in patent and trademark and in FDA because that's pretty much kind of open documentation. And you'll find that a lot with science, especially let's call them traditional science, you know, chemistry, physics, there's a lot of publications. So another place I would go to would be books.google.com. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds weird because I'm saying books.google.com, but when you go there, inside of books.google.com, you can click on the advanced search, which is a little hyperlink on the right-hand side of the magnifying glass. And when you're in there, it'll allow you to narrow your search down by magazines. That's what you want. So you're going to books.google.com with the intent of finding magazines, and when you're in there, you'll go into the research a topic, browse books and magazines side of the library, not into the e-store, which is where you buy stuff, and then on the advanced, choose magazines, and then put in job titles, such as chemical engineer, process engineer, or company names like Merck and Pfizer and Abbott, and you'll find articles in professional journals that are written and where the engineers are being quoted about their processes or new discoveries or whatever. Now, a lot of the stuff that they do is top secret because the formula itself for the medicine is what, you know, the company that invents the cure for whatever is the one that makes the money. But also on the other side of that, there's also a lot of open conversation because of regulatory requirements and things like that. So when you're looking for scientists, you can often find them in, just to recap, trademark, patent databases, FDA database, and magazines and journals and professional publications. Also try the news, news.google.com.
Shelly, you know what I've been dying for you to tell them about is the image search where you taught how to search for pictures of people.
Yeah, that one costs extra, Kathy. Thanks, though.
Hey, Shelly.
Yeah.
Alan here, you ever used a library's database online that you get a membership to for free?
Yep. Actually, there is a OverDrive application for your phone and your iPad, and you can also get it on your computer. OverDrive will allow you to search the any public library that is connected. So it's the application that a lot of libraries use. So if you can get a free account on OverDrive, and you get a library card, and then you use your library card to log into OverDrive, and you'll actually be able to search pretty much all these, you know, different libraries. For me, the Gwinnett Public Library System is what I'm registered with, so I can, you know, go to the library and check out books and stuff like that. But I use that on OverDrive, and I can get copies of magazines that are available to library members, books, and things like that. So that's definitely a really cool tool. Keep in mind that books, as in like printed bound books, are probably going to be more out of date. So if somebody's name makes it onto a book, it might be 2-3 years after, you know, it was written. Whereas magazines tend to be a little bit, you know, maybe 2-3 months. They're still going to be behind. It's not as immediate as finding stuff that's on a blog today. But a magazine is still fairly recent enough, whereas an actual book is going to be really usually really old. You know, you find a book that was published in the 70s, and names in there are, you know, obviously not really useful to us anymore.
Well, okay, I got to move on. There's a couple more things. Aaron Daniels, you know, he's listening, but I forgot what search he asked me to ask you about, and he's got something he really needs. He sent it to me. Did I email you some searches, Shelly?
No, but it's almost 10 past the hour, bro, so you want to just schedule another go-around?
I like how Shelly recognized that we're clearly in the after show.
Yeah,
and
we are.
I wanted to run over because
the people spent so much time fighting me,
yes,
the other people on the show, that I had people complaining, and I just had so many complaints after you were on last time. Mm-hmm. I just had to get out of the way and give you a chance to talk for an extra 5 minutes, Shelly. Shelly,
no worries, man. Listen, I'm happy to be a regular contributor, once a month or whatever. Let's talk.
Just hold on, Shelly. You listen to me, okay?
Yes, sir.
If people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
They can go to LinkedIn and find me there, or they can go to 4SCT, that's 4SierraCharlieTango.com.
Okay, you know what? People are crinkling their paper. They're using their sink, their tap during the show.
Yeah.
Can you see why I'm crazy?
I can't take it anymore.
Yes. We can see why you're crazy.
Now, this guy asked me, Shelly, I'm going to let you go, but then I'm going to have people say who they are because people want to help you guys, and they can't get in touch with you. So I'm going to let Shelly go. I'm going to say everybody's IDs, and then we'll go to Jerry's short after show, I guess.
Shelly, thank you very much.
Thank you, Shelly. Tell everybody thank you to Shelly, okay?
See you next time.
Thank you, Shelly.
Bye.
Alan Fleur, can you give your Twitter address so people can talk to you, the cracking guy?
A Fleur. A-F-L-U-H-R, A-F-L-U-H-R-E-R. If anybody's on Kathy Manis.
Hi, it's L-E underscore Brenda, Lee Brenda.
She's the pharmaceutical lady, Rayanne with the sweet voice, R-A-Y underscore A-N-N-E, right?
You got it.
Jerry Albright, people know him. Don't worry about that. Mike Astringer, you want to give your...
Don't follow me anyway.
He's human capital consultants.
Mike Astringer.
Mike Astringer. Jerry underscore Albright. Anybody else? Don Kahn.
1L.
Don Kahn.
She's probably off, but I can give you hers. It's Don, D-A-W-N-C-K-A-H-N. Don.
No. K-H-A-N. K-H-A-N.
K-H-A-N. That's not what I said? K-H-A-N.
She's the male. She's one who was asking about male stuff. Gregorian, I'm not going to try to spell that. People look up TempWorks, and you'll get in touch with him. Anybody else?
Can't do a search.
Anybody else who was on the show that I didn't mention?
Just me, Cora, but you don't need to.
Cora, one C-O-R-A. No, Cora May.
E.
One C-O-R-A-M-A-E.
That's it.
And I think that's it. We're on a Jerry Show!
Hey, Jerry.
So, Jerry, have you ever thought of using Bad to the Bone instead?
No.
Okay,
I'm far more sexy than I am Bad to the Bone.
There you go. That's true.
Okay, I just wondered.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah, man.
I got to run, so can I ask a quick question of you specifically?
Is it personal?
No.
Okay, sure.
So, you know, as I'm listening to Shelly talk, and I'm not taking one penny away from him, he's an impressive guy. I mean, I'm impressed with every word that comes out of his mouth. But, you know, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, the strategies he uses are pretty time-consuming. So if Kathy's on the call, I guess one of my questions was, is that sort of a last resort? Like, in other words, let's go through LinkedIn, let's use Hoovers, let's use these other sources of sort of more easily finding names, and then let's start to dig deeper. I mean, is that sort of a second step, Kathy?
No, actually, for hard-to-fill positions, that's his first step, because that will let him know, and the client, how many viable candidates there are out there in the population. So if you're running a search and you do an intake form, and Jerry, they say they want so many Java developers in Pittsburgh, and you run an in-depth search to begin with, you can go back your client immediately and say, look, there may only be 30 in the area.
So when you say immediately, though, I mean, you're talking three, 4 days of doing that intense searching, right?
But Kathy, though, that's if you're doing a sourcing project. See, my clients don't want me to come back and tell them why I can't get something done at the end of the first day. They just want me to go do it.
But you may be able to use that as leverage as to why.
Why do I need leverage? Why don't I just go find these people? I'm not looking for leverage.
Hey,
I'm looking for the guy or gal.
Hey, Jerry.
Jerry,
yes,
leverage
Andy.
Your entire salary. For
hold
that.
On a second. It's the
can I
post game show
I go,
with Andy Gregory.
Can I interrupt for a second?
No.
Just before Andy.
All right.
Okay. I didn't mention Kathy Manis at C-1, C-M-A-N-N-I-S-1. I did ask if there's anybody else, and she didn't say it then, but she's complaining on Twitter. Just so you know, Kathy Manis, C-1, double N. Lee Shamuel didn't call in, but he wants me to mention his name. L-E-E-S-H-E-M-U-E-L on Twitter.
Hey, if these guys want advertisement on my show, they can pay for it.
Okay, but he's the guy who wants to know about finding org charts. And I have to apologize to Aaron Daniels. It's all yours, Jerry. Goodbye.
Oh, God.
Jerry, you could use this to get higher salaries, therefore higher commissions for yourself.
Well, no, see, I have to disagree with that simply because I'm not the recruiter that right off the bat is going to say, yeah, I know your salary is $70,000. These guys are going to be $85,000. Okay, I'm not always right back in my client's face saying, there's only 30 of these people in Pittsburgh. You're going to have to pay a lot more. I'm going to go find that guy. I want to know how to find the guy I'm looking for, not how to gather data to show my client that they're wrong and I'm right.
No, it's not to show them that if you're wrong or they're right. It can also confirm that they're right on target. Mike asked me a question, when do you run these searches? And generally, we have run them at the beginning of the search very quickly, and we put them into a spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
I then go, and I spend all my time on LinkedIn. So, you know, it's just for information purposes only. What you choose to do with that is up to you.
Jerry, on your Facebook profile, it does say on your political views that you're right, they're wrong. So why don't you employ this in your
I love Republicans.
I wanted to say, coincidentally, I did have my furnace replaced recently. And
we were worried about that.
There were cracks in the heat exchanger, so I did have a cracking furnace. I'm familiar with these people. The other
thing, send me your resume.
Yeah, the other thing is, In absence of I know this is a you know, groupthink, and we're, you know, it's your own
thought leadership committee is really
thought leadership committee. Yes. So, but I was interested in this. I can just transport myself back to my my recruiting office when I worked for my mentor, and I can just envision him saying, "Hey, Andy, what are you working on today?" And I'd say, "You know, I'm trying to find this cracking furnace." He'd say, "You know, sounds like you need to get a hotter order." That's what he'd say to me. So, you know, hey,
I can tell you really needed
to
get that in, Andy.
Why don't we work something else? Why don't we work on something else? That's what I was thinking. But I do admire the persistence that Alan is, you know, pursuing that with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder, Jerry, if that's one of the more important questions to ask. Like, when does Shelley give up?
Well, I don't think he does because he's paid by the hour.
Yes, he does.
Okay,
no.
That's true.
I'd be a lot richer.
Hey, Cora,
yeah.
just a thought. This is just a little side project for you. I want you to, and this is just a suggestion, go back to when you first started listening to the Animal Show and learning about social recruiting and now all these Boolean searches and stuff. I want you to kind of take the entire year before that and look at your sales.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And now, a year from that start date, I want you to look at your sales then.
Yeah, I still
then
don't
once you realize
you're my guess is I'm still not going to do the social, his online thing.
Right.
I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
Yeah, skip all of it, and it's a farce.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention. He even says he might start there or he might use that, but then he might be doing telephone sourcing or whatever, so I thought,
I didn't mean to say that searching the internet is a farce. No, I mean, I think that's how a lot of us are finding people. Social recruiting is really the big waste of time there.
I can't. Well, I'm the one
Cora,
with no website,
you're
no
working,
Facebook, you know. So.
Yeah, Cora, you're working in a field that doesn't really have a lot of people who do that. Some of us who work in the technical recruiting field, you
mm-hmm.
anticipate that these individuals want to show off their ego and capabilities by being online, by posting their resume on their own website. So if you're looking for someone who's designing a website, they have their own website.
And I agree with that. And not only that, when you're an IT or technical person, you when one project's done, you're ready to move on because the company may not have something that, I'm not interested mm-hmm. in working on that project.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're more ready. My guys could sit there with their little green eye shades for the rest of their life maybe.
Well, hey, I need to do something.
Yeah, and no disrespect, it's old school recruiting, which is cool in my opinion. So.
Yeah, it's all pretty cool. I do it all.
I don't think he's
going
to run.
Everybody
enjoys
the time.
Hey, Mike, before you go, though, we're only going to have one score for the show today since this was kind of a second attempt.
Mm-hmm.
So I want a score from 0 to 100 on how is this show an improvement over the squandered opportunity to work with Shelley as the guest the last time. So you can either evaluate Animal on this, Shelley on it. It doesn't matter. Give me a score, 1 to 100.
I'm going
to
say 85% of the time he was not cutting off or interrupting Shelley or changing direction like he was
mm-hmm.
last time. So 85.
All right. And we will see you on the virtual Christmas party then on the 21st.
I can't promise I'll be wearing a shirt the entire time, but yeah.
You don't have to. It's hard. It might be hard to recreate the magic, but we'll try, all right? You know how it is. You have a great party, and you're like, I want to do that exact same thing again next year. You can never quite get back to it, but we'll try.
I'll have to top what I did last year is what you're saying.
I don't know if you can, man. And I'm not even saying I'm encouraging you to try. I guess I was speaking in a broader sense.
See you guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, man.
Happy
Thanksgiving.
Bye,
okay, I need some other scores here, people.
I thought it was much better because Animal had some specific questions, you know, problems,
yep.
so that Shelley could go through and kind of, you know, talk about, I'm assuming because I don't understand any of what he said, could actually, for those people who understood, go through and tell that. So I really like that, and, you know, I'd give it a 88.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. I thought I understood it, but because I think that he went through and actually explained because we had specifics.
Though I still almost, well, not almost, I still did not understand some of what he was talking about, because as he's going through this, he'll throw in these different sites and tools that he uses as if everybody knows what he's talking about. He says, you put that in a black
lingo.
O and then you blew. I've never heard of black O in my life.
Hey, try
well, this
you know,
yeah,
try
this is
to
where
accountant.
I got stuff out of it, though. This is good.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, guys, I got to go.
Good.
What's your score?
Oh, I mean, bummer.
90.
90?
No, I'm joking. 82. I think we could have done better.
Yeah, that 90, that fools us every time, Alan.
Yeah, I know it does. Anyway,
hi, Gary.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving, man.
Thanksgiving.
Take care, Alan.
Take it easy, man. So,
hi, Jerry.
Hey.
It's Brenda. I didn't get to say hi back to you earlier.
How are you doing, girl?
I'm good. How are you?
Great.
I have a score.
Yes.
I'd give it 100.
Okay.
You
know, that reminds
score.
Me of old Maureen. Where is Maureen lately? She's always give it 110.
Maureen was on the show. She couldn't talk. Her voice was silenced like mine.
Mine was too for about 20 minutes.
Man, bummer. Huh. Well, thanks for that score, Brenda.
Oh, you're welcome.
Excuse me, Le Brenda.
Yeah.
okay,
I'm
I need another
up.
Score, people. Another score.
Kathy.
I thought we were doing just one.
Yeah, from another caller. Kathy,
oh,
C-1.
Hi, Jerry.
Yeah.
And I'm not biased here, but I'd have to say it was 90% improved because there was actual... questions that were answered. There was
yeah.
information.
Yeah.
I hope you guys learned.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought it was great to give samples of hard-to-fill positions and let Sally do his magic as quickly as he could, you know, in the time that was allotted. So I think it was a great show.
So now you said it was 90% better. That, to me, is not a score. That's describing the show.
Okay, 90. I'm sorry. 90.
Oh, okay. Sorry to, you know, words mean things to me. I'm sorry to be so specific there.
I think Sally's a tough guest because what he does is not something that he can easily explain to somebody and answer questions without getting very involved, and he was pretty succinct on a couple of those searches where he was able to bring it in and just kind of get it right out there, and that was really helpful.
I liked at least what I'm taking away from this is how to think about the kind of conversations these guys would be having with each other and use that in your search.
I'd love to
rather than just the buzzwords. What are they talking about? So dragging a bunch of resumes into Wordle.
Wordle?
Wordle.
Okay.
Get resumes of 10 people, say, and copy and paste them all into there and then hit create Wordle. I just did my first one half an hour ago. And the more times a word is used, it's going to be bigger on there.
Mm-hmm.
So the bigger words appear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I love that. That was my big takeaway from this. That was my Yahoo moment.
Did that with FASB fellowship, I mean, I might get a whole bunch of FASB on there. That might be the big word, and then I know this is where I want to go.
Well, the client I'm working
with
gave me the resumes of the top candidates that they hired. All you have to do is paste the key success criteria in and analyze it, and then you search based on that. That's brilliant.
Okay,
yeah,
you just lost me on that one.
But if this is a taste of what a sourcing conference would be like, sign my ass up.
Where are my tickets, man?
In a hearing they last 3 days. I mean, I'm there. I am so there in 2012.
You know, I was disappointed because you know there's been a little bit of a change at Arbita.
Yeah, big change.
Oh,
there.
I know.
I wanted to dig into that thing. Animal kind of said, no, don't do it. But I want to know what happened over there.
I had to DVR Young and the Restless because I was going to do drama. So, I got none.
Jerry, I wish I could tell you, but I can't.
No, I know. But, you know, I've heard
but is it
enough.
Wrong of us to,
Is it wrong of us to say that we tuned into the animal show to hear this drama stuff?
I mean, no, I mean, it's
curiosity.
I mean, it was a nice, you know, concept. You know, I like the fact that there was some stuff that was out there, but in the same thing, I can go pick up a Shally seminar or go look at, you know, his things and stuff, his posts that's out there. I don't know. I was curious to see from that perspective just to get a better idea. If things, I mean, granted, who knows what happened there, but if things were that successful from a business perspective that, you know, we're turning to somebody who, whatever happened, it leaves some doubt in my mind, much like you, Jerry, that how good is this stuff?
Well, see, but that's actually the opposite, though, of what I understand or at least have heard. And again, I doubt I will ever see myself in a court of law having to defend the statements that I'm making about either Arbutus, Shally, or any of that stuff, because I don't know any of it. On a bigger picture, though, what bugs me is these companies, whether it's people, big companies, startup stuff, whatever, all of these different places out here on social media talking about culture and values and building a community and treating your employees right and getting your talent community to all talk about your employment brand that just kicks ass, okay? If all of these people are out here doing that, yet they don't even pay their employees.
Exactly.
And they have these guys out here spending their own money and never even getting reimbursed for this stuff.
Yeah, what kind of culture
all
is that?
In an effort to promote this big fake brand. I find it absurd, and I think the more of us that can shine a light on the BS that's going on out here, it might bring us all to more of a certain reality with all this stuff here.
Amen.
$10 talent communities? Kidding
Jerry?
Me?
Yeah. It's Kathy. I have to tell you that the team as a whole, I have never worked on a better team in my life. I've never seen a more dedicated team, from the SVP of sales down to the salespeople to the directors of sourcing.
How big was the company?
It was not big. There were two of us that were in charge of the sourcing division.
Like a company with an SVP of sales? That would tell me that there's got to be 50 people there.
No, there was only about 15.
Okay, so was there a VP of sales then?
No.
Why was there a senior VP of sales? Was that you?
I don't know. But I can tell you that it was not the team. It was not our product. I mean, it was not our sourcing efforts. It was other things that happened behind the scenes that the team did not even know about.
Oh, hey, quick shot. Hey, Animal. Animal, Dave Manister is muted on the Animal After Show, and as you know,
oh, hold on, hold
that's
on.
The main reason he even calls in here.
Oh, yeah. Okay, he's open
now. That was
now.
Good.
Am I on now?
Yeah, there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, you're on.
All right. Well, I call in for the Animal Show, Jerry. You're just a bonus at the end.
Shut him off. Cut him off.
Yeah, I mean, I know we're not supposed to talk directly to Animal. He's not really here right now. I've never heard of a shock jock who studiously avoids the most interesting, controversial topic that his guests could talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you had, like, Herman Cain on now or, like, Bill Clinton after the Lewinsky thing and
mm-hmm.
refused to talk about, you know, sexual scandal.
Or Charlie Sheen.
Am I allowed to answer him?
Yeah, man. It's really your show still. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Well, look, I sent Shally a message. I said, do you want to talk about that or not? I got no reply. So
silence,
you know,
means consent, especially in journalism.
If yeah, this
my
is
God.
Journalism, yeah. If he wanted to talk about it, he was free. I gave him any opportunity. He didn't want to talk about it, in my opinion. So I'm not going to pry. It's
okay, but
him.
Animal,
okay?
Aren't you getting tired? Aren't you getting tired of all these different brands and cultures and all this community stuff out there where, at a core, the companies aren't even paying the people that are out there putting out this bullshit?
We don't know the details there, Jerry.
I'm just saying.
I call in to listen to the show to get. I call in to listen to the show to get concepts and ideas about the makers of our industry that I can't look up on the web.
All right.
Wow, I just come for the animal. I just love his voice.
Well, yeah, that too.
Now,
I like
to listen to
yellow people.
Can I just say one thing?
Him and Jerry,
one thing?
That's it. I mean, I just want to come and listen to their voice because it gets me all rubbed up for the rest of the day.
I've got to say, and this is just, this is just as a review of a conference track that I saw a couple of weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I don't know, whenever, in Chicago at the recruiting conference.
Yeah.
I went into what I thought was Don Raymer and Shally. I thought I was going to go in there and hear Shally talking about how to find people, right? I spent the next hour wondering if somebody had slipped acid into my coffee. I had no idea what he was saying. I was looking around the room to see if I'm just in an incubator of eggheads in there that are just so brilliant absorbing this that I'm just the dude from Indiana that's kind of not really plugged into the higher level here. The dude, in my opinion, is not a genius. I didn't know what was going on. And I'm usually able to pick up what dudes are saying.
When we were there, can I give the quote?
You were there, Andy?
Yeah, I was sitting right next to you, and at the end of that, you go, apparently, we weren't high enough for this presentation. It's a classic line. It's awesome.
Andy, and you don't have to give your name here. Would you say that's a fairly accurate assessment, or
I was completely lost during that show. And you thought you'd get a picture, and then he'd go off in another direction. It was insane. It was mumbo jumbo.
In the middle of it, all of a sudden, with no introduction or preamble at all, no lead-in, we're watching a video of a flash mob, I think in a subway, wasn't it? Maybe in a Chinese subway, some subway.
Yeah, it was.
Doing the Sound of Music theme song.
It was like the best. The presentation was like the best of things you'd want to put in your presentation with no glue to be together.
Yeah, man.
It was like, I think I'll use that to prove my point. I mean, it was just a friggin' patchwork quilt without any stitching.
Right. And so I then have to say that I left that thinking, you know, because I don't know Shally. I mean, I know of him. I've said hi to him on Twitter or what have you. But knowing him, I don't know. I left there thinking, all those guys are screwed. Anybody that could be that cerebral, it was just too heavy. Just way too heavy. So the fact that the whole thing blew up 3 weeks later really only proves that I'm the genius, because I spotted how shot up that whole deal was. And I wasn't even involved. It's just weird. I wanted to hear more about that.
The work was not shoddy. And, you know,
I've never said shoddy, but I couldn't relate to anything that I don't see how you could sit down and have a discussion with the guy about business, about any kind of traction. It just odd.
I agree with you.
Very odd. Now, Animal, don't have this part of the broadcast archived for anybody to search Don Raymer being bashed verbally by Jerry Albright, because I don't need that going on either. I think the show's dead anyway. 1:30, cuts off. No recording. Manister, are you still there?
I am still here.
Should I not be? I shouldn't be out saying all this, should I?
Well, you can say what you want. I think having been through a near bankruptcy situation back in 2001, during the dot-com bust, and I had to lay off most of my team at that point in time. Mm-hmm. I could say that there's really almost no way to get out of these things with everybody kind of, you know, singing your praises. It just sucks. It sucks the most for the people who are laid off, but it also sucks for the people kind of doing the layoffs, because it's just hard. And there's always bad feelings. You know, the best you could do is minimize those bad feelings and treat people well. You know, certainly it sounds here like that may not have happened, but I don't know. And, probably no one really knows except for the people directly involved who know exactly what the money flows were. So, you know, we can kind of, you know, there's definitely people out there who seem to be having a lot of schadenfreude about this, but it leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Sure.
This is Kathy Manis. I worked with Arbita. Okay, I just got laid off on Friday.
Which really sucks, Kathy.
Yeah, that sucks.
I mean, that's the real deal here, is there's people now looking for work, and I'm sorry about that.
Yeah,
and I don't take any pleasure in the whole thing at all. I mean, I'm not even, obviously, not even involved. I just found it rather odd that just 3 weeks ago I was sitting in a presentation by this guy thinking, who are these people? How is this person in business? What do they do?
But I did not have contact with him, and it was very sad. I know that Dave Manister is trying to talk, take Don to task, and he's putting his reputation on the line doing that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not willing to put my reputation on the line. But I can tell you that we're a great group of people that were extremely talented.
How many people are now looking for work?
I'm sorry, Kathy. Just to clarify, I wasn't taking Don to task at all. I was actually kind of saying that the situation is sucky for everybody.
She meant Dave Mendoza, right?
Dave Mendoza, I'm sorry, is taking Don to task.
Let the record reflect.
Yeah.
Dave Mendoza, not Dave Manister.
Right. I'm sorry, Dave.
They look kind of the same.
Yeah, sorry.
The Mediterranean, machismo, if you will.
Yeah. Sorry about that, but we're all out of work. It's Thanksgiving, and I don't even know if I can get my kids a Christmas gift next month. I mean, I don't even.
That's
Kathy. I'm really sorry.
That's awful.
It's an awful situation.
That's awful.
And the ironic thing is, I was promoted a month ago.
Oh, that really sucks.
I was promoted to a director position.
Are you able to comment then? And maybe I shouldn't even be asking, but when stuff's posted on Twitter, I mean, there were several, suggestions that for months people weren't even paid.
That's true.
Did those people know that they weren't being paid, or did you think that you had been paid?
We were notified to hold our check.
Man, that sucks. For months.
Well, I ended up getting most of mine, but there's someone out there that has not gotten paid for 3 months.
Mm.
Oh, so sad.
Dear God.
Well, I tell you what, best thing you can do is go find me a couple Java contractors in Pittsburgh. And we will straighten your situation out.
Kathy's post the other day was really, really cool about, preserving your dignity and honor and just moving on with what you've got. It's about respecting the people that you do work with. I see in these layoff environments where people become dog-eat-dog to try to save themselves. That's asinine. Move on. Find what's next. And, Kathy, I'm sorry, and I wish you the best.
Thank you. That's what I'm trying to say is our team was a fabulous, talented team.
I know your team and I know your people, and I care about the well-being that you have always been there for others. I want that to be there for you, too.
Well, this is most likely the last I'll be speaking of it because I'm not involved, and I really have no vested interest in it. I just found it rather interesting, certain people tweeting their ass off about it.
Well, yeah, and I've only, I'm not going to join that, I just wanted to emphasize that we were a very talented group and had a blast at what we were doing, and I sure learned a hell of a lot working with Shally for a year.
Anybody have a score for the show today that did not get it to us? Manister?
Manister?
A.K.A. Mendoza?
no real scores today. I think they, both did a pretty good job. I mean, let me repeat. I think Shally did a pretty good job. I think Animal, was just talking about something that, again, it was not talking to Charlie Sheen about his sex scandal or, going crazy and being.
Is that what you were listening in for, though, or were you hoping to not hear any of that?
I think when you have someone who's in the center of news and you don't ask them about news, you've missed an opportunity.
I agree. I'm with you.
Yeah, I think that there's a respectful space there. I mean, when you're burning from this stuff, talking about when you're part of the current fire, talking about it, it was real difficult, too. It's important to respect that, too.
Yeah, I think people wanted to hear the real story.
You know, that's a decision that Shally has to make, whether or not he wants to talk about it. I mean, in my opinion, animals' job, and of course, you know, animal runs things the way he wants to run things, but animal's job would be to ask the tough questions, and if they're not answered, they're not answered.
That's probably true, that you do have to ask if it, but if they had that conversation before, we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you all have a tremendous Thanksgiving tomorrow.
I'll be up at 5 90. Cooking.
I hope my wife feels better. She's been very ill since Monday.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, like real sick. It's like, wow, should we go to the emergency room or what? I learned today by talking to the doctor's office, water doesn't do anything to help with dehydration. Did you know that? Did you guys all know that?
Yes.
Like, if you're drinking water, it's not going to help. Your system needs electrolytes in it.
Yeah. That's right. You have to get that pediatric or whatever.
So
with electrolytes.
Yeah, she's been kind of dehydrating for like 3 days now.
Mm-hmm,
I had no
mm-hmm.
idea because she's had water.
You have to have the potassium, the salts, the sugars, and it has to be able to be absorbed.
Sherry, take her in, man. Take her in. It's been 3 days. They're not going to be, you know, Thanksgiving's going to be bad in there. Like, no one's going to be around.
Luckily, though, we've kind of turned the corner after getting the actual electrolytes going, that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Potassium and Gatorade is actually pretty good for that because it's got the potassium and it's got magnesium. And
yeah, she's been doing the Gatorade all day and feeling better.
Good. Oh, that's great.
So, yeah, that's our Thanksgiving. We were going to have one Thanksgiving here this evening and then another one over at my family tomorrow, but today we're not doing that. Matter of fact, I have to leave. They called me about 9 o'clock this morning to let me know my deer was done, so I have to go pick up my processed deer.
Oh, you actually got one.
By 5 o'clock, they said. $113.
Well,
how many points?
Was
it not a buck?
Guys.
That would have been a buck. I don't shoot them. I wouldn't even eat one.
A buck?
Yeah, they're nasty.
I don't eat venison, but I have a 14 pointer that keeps coming across my yard.
That is not tasty.
I think none of it is. I don't like venison, so.
Really?
Hey, it's Bambi. I can't stand it.
Are you a vegetarian?
No. I don't like the taste of venison.
Well, then what you've had is you've eaten somebody's trophy buck that they shot, which is just nasty. Picture eating a 14-year-old bull.
I would prefer if they kind of marinated in something for like 24 hours and then maybe.
Oh, I would make venison for you that you would think, wow, that is very good stuff.
Okay, so you're going to have that at the virtual party if I come
down
there?
Yeah, virtual Christmas party, I sure will.
I show up at your house in Indiana, you're going to go, holy crap, you're here?
You're here. All right, everybody, have a great Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
See you. Sorry, Kathy.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Take
Bye.
Care, Kathy.
Thanks, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
You know, I have my issues with all of them, with recruiting blogs. Jason Davis, I love the guy. I don't like some of the decisions he made. David Manasseh, same thing. I have his home phone numbers. I love the guy. He knows that I've got his back. Same thing with Jason.
Hello.
But, you know, everyone is trying to create a community that is different. And you know what? None of them are different. There is nothing new that hasn't in articles that come coming out on all these blogs and all these sites that we haven't touched upon 10 years back, 15 years back, 20 years back. Nothing is new.